Number 30.
This is an example of what archaeologists call Kelowna-ware pottery. This picture was made using traditional Native American manufacturing techniques, but is in a European form. And Kelowna-ware vessels such as this picture really show a blending of cultures and cultural practices. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 79.
This Taino vessel was recovered from the site of In Basseline in Haiti. It's a reminder that the New World Columbus discovered was already inhabited by people. Some archaeologists and historians estimate that up to 100 million native people lived in the Americas before Europeans arrived. This particular vessel was made by the Taino people who occupied the island of Hispaniola and many of the Caribbean islands. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 80.
Christopher Columbus first made landfall in the Bahamas in 1492, making brief contact and leaving little to no trace. His ship sailed on to the island of Hispaniola, where his flagship, the Santa Maria, ran aground on a reef near the site of In Basseline. The Spanish, with the help of the local Taino, salvaged what they could from the ship, and Columbus left 39 of his men there with orders to build a tower and a moat and to search for gold until he came back the following year after returning to Spain. When he returned 9 months later, Columbus found the fort burned and all his men dead. This musket ball is one of the few European artifacts found at the site of In Basseline, believed to be the location of that initial settlement of La Navidad. It is likely the earliest musket ball found in the Americas and is a reminder of the violent interactions between the Spaniards and the local Taino. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 82.
These are 16th century book clasps from the sites of Puerto Real, Haiti and Nueva Cadiz, Venezuela. Books and record keeping were very important in the daily lives and activities of the Spanish. They would keep records of economic activity, births, deaths, baptisms, and bountiful legal records as well. It's very rare to find them on archaeological sites, and these particular clasps may have been used for Bibles or other books, or to secure important documents. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 83.
Olive jars were the ubiquitous storage and shipping containers for the Spanish American colonies and evolved in shape and manufacturing technique over four centuries. They were used to ship olive oil, wine, honey, soap, and other items. This particular one is an early style olive jar identified by its unique rim shape, handles, and two-part manufacturing technique. It was found in the Dominican Republic and dates to the 16th century. It's rare to find fully intact olive jars, and what makes this one even more unique is the R painted in red, which is likely the initial of the vessel's maker. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 84.
This is from a shipwreck that was found off the east coast of Florida, likely dating to the 17th or 18th century. When archaeologists were excavating the ship, they found a large chunk of coral, which they brought up and had x-rayed. The x-ray showed that the coral had grown around a sword that had been lost, and over time the sword had deteriorated, leaving a hollow hole where it once had been. Archaeologists pumped the coral full of resin, which hardened, and they broke the coral apart, and it left this cast of the sword. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 86.
This glass vial is from the Fig Spring site, which is believed to be the mission of San Martin de Temuqua. It likely held sacramental oils that were used in religious activities at the mission during the 17th century. Only one other complete vial has been found at Spanish mission sites in Florida, and three have been found at a single Spanish mission site off the coast of Georgia. It's very rare that archaeologists find complete vials such as these, which makes this a very unique and special artifact in our collections. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 87.
Figas are protective amulets that were often given to infants to ward off the evil eye and offer other protections. This particular one was found at the Fountain of Youth Archaeological Park in St. Augustine, Florida. This is the location of the initial settlement of St. Augustine, occupied from September 1565 through the spring of 1566. This figa was made of bone and at one time was coated in black, likely to make it look more like jade, which is what most figas were made of. While it's uncertain who exactly this particular figa was made for, it's possible that it was for little Martin de Argüelles, who is the first documented European born in what is now the United States. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 88.
These artifacts are from one of the coolest archaeological sites ever excavated by the museum, Fort Mosey, located just north of St. Augustine, Florida. Fort Mosey was the first legally sanctioned free black community in what is now the United States. And the short version of the story is that in the late 1600s and early 1700s, enslaved Africans in the British colonies, which were then just north of Florida, heard that if they escaped to St. Augustine and converted to Catholicism, they'd be granted freedom. So by 1738, more than 100 refugees had arrived, and the Spaniards built Fort Mosey. Museum archaeologist Kathy Deegan discovered and excavated the site, and I helped her put together an exhibit that traveled the country. Well, what Kathy and her team found was modest stains in the soil where wooden posts once stood, a filled-in moat that surrounded the fort, and some modest artifacts from people's daily lives. These artifacts tell interesting stories about the clothing people wore, the food they ate, the military nature of the town, their religious life, and some of their leisure activities. The artifacts are physical touchstones to daily life at the fort, and that's the kind of information you can't get from historical records. Fort Mosey is incredibly important because it expands our understanding of the African experience in colonial times. And while slavery was certainly the dominant theme, it wasn't the only story. In my mind, Fort Mosey is a tribute to all people who pursue freedom. And today, as we struggle with divisive racial, ethnic, and religious issues, Fort Mosey stands as a beacon of light that continues to inspire us several centuries later. I'm Darcy McMahon, Director of Exhibits and Public Programs at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 105.
Dr. Kathleen Deegan, Distinguished Research Curator Emerita of Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History, has been instrumental in investigating the impacts of colonialism and the resulting blending of cultures. Her research has truly been interdisciplinary, involving archaeology, history, zooarchaeology, archaeobotany, geology, and other fields. Dr. Deegan's decades of research in the Caribbean and the southeastern U.S., particularly in St. Augustine, has allowed us to have a better understanding of the daily lives and activities of the Europeans, Native Americans, and Africans impacted by colonialism. In St. Augustine, Dr. Deegan found that it was primarily women who were the brokers of cultural exchange. This wooden chocolate frother is a perfect example of the blending of cultures during the Spanish colonial period. Chocolate was unknown to Europeans before their arrival in the Americas, but it was used by native populations in Central America. The Spanish eagerly adopted chocolate into their cuisine, using Mexican chocolateros, or chocolate frothers, to whisk a chocolate beverage. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 108.
This exquisite glass vial was found in a well at the Fascio House in St. Augustine. It dates to the second half of the 17th century and was likely used as a perfume bottle. Because it was found in a waterlogged deposit, it requires special conservation techniques. And in order to protect this beautiful and fragile object, it must remain stored in water. Even though the glass isn't extremely porous, it's still over time being submerged. Water and salts from the water have leached into the glass, and it would take a special conservation technique to slowly draw out the moisture and salts and replace them to keep the glass itself from shattering into hundreds of little pieces. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 110.
This Santo Domingo blue-on-white majolica pitcher dates to the late 16th to early 17th centuries. It was found in the Dominican Republic. Most of the pottery archaeologists find during excavations is very fragmentary. Fortunately, during excavations, numerous fragments of this particular pitcher were found, and archaeologists and ceramic technologists worked together to reconstruct the vessel. Plaster was used to fill in the missing pieces to complete the vessel, allowing scientists and museum visitors a chance to view this beautiful piece of history. My name is Gifford Waters, and I'm the Collection Manager for Historical Archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.